Welcome, everybody, to a very special edition of the Cedar Creek Church podcast. I'm so excited today to have my good friend, longtime ministry partner, Steve McDaniel from Living Water Adopt a Child.
Hola,
welcome,
amigo.
Steve. El grande jefe, jefe grande.
No, she's at the house.
Yes, that's right. Steve and Anna have been friends and a part of the Cedar Creek Church family. Really for over a decade, almost two decades now, we've had the privilege of partnering with you guys in the incredible work that y'all do through Living Water Adopt a Child. So we're just excited to have a chance for Steve and I to sit down, just have a conversation about ministry, life, transitions, the amazing way God works through partnership. So Steve, man, thank you. Thank you for coming. Thanks for giving us a little bit of your time.
Hey, I'm glad to be here, and I can't think of any place else I'd rather be right now, and I'm honored, sir, to be in partnership with you and Cedar Creek.
Oh, man, thank you, Steve. So we were just talking earlier. We've been partners with Living Water Adopt a Child for so long. I did not even remember how we connected, but you knew the story. So tell that story of how God brought Cedar Creek Church in Aiken, South Carolina, into a partnership with Living Water Adopt a Child in Guatemala.
Well, let's just confirm, God still works in mysterious ways. So, the story is, it's an interesting story. We partner with several churches, and prior to my tenure as leader of the ministry, I was serving as a missionary, and I met a gentleman that was attending a church down in South Florida. Mm-hmm. And this brother was a Cuban by nationality, and fled Cuba during the Castro days. Yeah. And settled in South Florida. He's a chiropractor by trade. Mm-hmm. And when he retired, sold his practice, he did what a whole lot of people do. He came to Aiken yeah. and bought a ranch.
Yeah, all right? That's right.
And so him and his wife, Dr. Ralph Martinez mm-hmm. and Kathy, they moved here. They started attending Cedar Creek Church. Mm-hmm. But he had become familiar with Guatemala, and I had met him. Mm-hmm. Ralph is a really great guy. And he kept telling me about his church and how he was trying to get them to come to Guatemala. And he said, but this Philip guy is elusive.
I'm having
a hard time getting any traction, getting a meeting with him. But he eventually met the missions director yeah. at that time. It was Dr. Christie.
Yeah.
And Dr. Christie, he at least got her attention. Mm-hmm. And she got your attention.
Yeah.
And you sent Christy and Mike Wells, one of your a veterinarian yep. and one of your leaders.
Yep.
They came down, and I got to be their driver and drove them around and got to meet yeah. them a little bit. Yeah. And we started a relationship with Cedar Creek at that point, because it wasn't long after that you guys sent student teams down. I think yeah. Rick was yeah. led one of the first teams yeah. down. Mm-hmm. And, of course, our relationship with Todd, I don't know, is so deep.
Yeah.
And you've been on our medical campaigns and yeah. so many of your good people. But that's how it started.
Wow. I couldn't remember. I just remember the first time Terry and I went with Christy and Matt went down for the latter half of a medical campaign, the spring medical campaign, and just got to know you and Anna. And I think the thing that just really God drew my heart to about Living Water Adopt a Child is the fact that so many of the kids who had been in this program, gone through this program, we're now serving. They're pastors in the churches where the feeding programs are. They're dentists, they're doctors. Dr. Pablo, who runs that medical campaign, was one of the kids in the program, and now is, God is using him in amazing ways. And I think the other thing, and we were talking about this earlier, is what I really love, and I know you do too, is the fact that it's not just about feeding children. It's not just about providing medical clinics and dental clinics and the physical health. It at its heart is a church planting movement.
Amen.
It is a gospel-centered church planting movement. And just knowing that, yes, we need to feed the hungry. Yes, we need to care for the sick. But what good is it if they spend eternity separated from Jesus? And you guys are, you keep the main thing the main thing. And I love that about you guys.
Well, thank you. And I think of this, the verse that's on the screen, you know, that you can look at from Isaiah, you know, feed the hungry, help those in trouble, then your light will shine out of the dark, from the darkness, and the darkness around you will be as bright as noon. I think that kind of puts a focus on what we're trying to do. We are trying to feed kids. Mm-hmm. Yes, we are. It saddens me, yeah. Philip, as I sit here this morning knowing that throughout Guatemala, poverty and hunger are pervasive.
Yeah.
And constant tormenting of our people. And so we're very blessed. We started feeding kids. We're still feeding kids. But we're feeding them with the, yes, we have an ulterior motive, and yeah. we're not ashamed to say it. That's what we do.
Yeah.
We're feeding them and without condition. But if they'll allow us, we're going to give them an opportunity to come to the table with the Lord where they'll eat a meal. They'll have a drink. They'll eat a meal where they'll never be hungry again.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
only provided, yeah. not through our fried chicken, not through our beans and tortillas, yeah. Through the gospel of yeah. our Lord Jesus.
Yeah. And to see that, and then to have our, whether it's student teams or adult teams going down, doing construction projects, helping out in the feeding centers, but for our people to catch that vision. And to know, and that's the beauty of partnerships. Cedar Creek doesn't have to go and set up something in Guatemala and reinvent the wheel. We just find people that are doing kingdom work, and we just come alongside and help in any way we can. So, you know, we got folks that are new, even though we've had this partnership for over a decade, yeah. Almost two decades now, I think, getting close, but still got a lot of people new to Cedar Creek. So can you just kind of tell us how the program works? How does it work? How does folks sponsor a child? Just give us the spiel.
Well, I'll just say this. You know, we've already talked about one of the key elements of our strategy. It's not a complicated strategy. Yeah. It's actually a strategy that Jesus employed yeah. often.
Yeah.
And that is to find people that have physical needs, mm-hmm. meet them, mm-hmm. and then find the way that we can tell them why.
Yeah.
And so when you look at that young boy there on the screen, I would just say to you, that's not a model. Mm-hmm. That's a real boy mm-hmm. From the mountains of Quiche. Comes to our program. We open our doors. We feed anybody and everybody that would come that's mm-hmm. hungry without condition. Mm-hmm. But we will have a breakout. We will pray for them. We will, at the same time, give them an opportunity to stay for a Bible class where we would teach them just Bible 101.
Yeah.
And without any kind of denominational,
yeah.
You know, flair. Mm. And just teach them the gospel. And that's what we do. And then we would seek sponsors, mm-hmm. Partners, mm-hmm. that we could get kids, what we call them, sponsored.
Right.
And the sponsorship program helps us provide those meals. Mm-hmm. We currently have 94 people on our staff.
Wow.
It helps us pay their mm-hmm. salaries. Mm-hmm. And our goal, and it's working, is we would see these children that would come hungry, mm-hmm. get fed, mm-hmm. be taken care of, medical, dental, mm-hmm. and otherwise, get a sponsor like you, like Terry, like so many other people yeah. in this church. And then, if we're successful,
yeah.
they would at some point become part of our ministry and become leaders. So our goal is, we see this little boy here, but that's not the end goal.
Yeah.
And we are not so naive as to think that we can eliminate poverty in Guatemala.
Yeah.
We know we cannot, but we are making a difference with your partnership and putting good nutritious meals and healthcare on the table for thousands of children.
Yeah.
And if I, you know, I can go on in that. And I think a key point, and if you would allow me a second here, and I'm just going to, strategies.
Yeah.
So since the 1970s, we have been working with this strategy of feeding children, hungry children, and taking them through a process, hopefully, where they would grow up and become leaders. We have 9 programs, now 10, that we own, and we open up these buildings, we feed the kids, and they would come. That picture was taken in November. That picture, it may not appear too impressive, but for me, it is very impressive. That's about close to 300 children in a public school in Guatemala.
Wow.
That now we've been able to take our strategy. Some of the kids that came through our program, they're teachers.
Wow. Yeah.
They're educators.
Yeah.
And so they have allowed us to bring our program into their schools.
Man.
And so now we're in 4 schools in Guatemala, 3 public and 1 private, where we feed the kids.
Yeah.
Love them. We don't have to filter anything down. We're able to preach the gospel.
Wow.
And evangelize.
Yeah.
And we do so. To me, that's a beautiful story. But it's not over, because we take kids like this little boy.
Yeah.
We've given him a number. Yeah. C. That's C0147. Now, Philip, you may not recognize him, but you know him.
Is that Wilmer?
That is
Pastor Wilmer. Oh, my
gosh. So as we look at these children, we know that God can see the end of our story before we can even contemplate the beginning of it. So this is Wilmer, young Wilmer.
Very young.
That,
does he know you're putting his picture out on it?
I had to dig to get that picture. And so you look at him, and if you, maybe the picture won't convey it, but Wilmer was what we would categorize, and I'm sure you don't have these in South Carolina. He's a rascal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He would come to our program, and by his own admission, he would sit there, go through the lines, and he said, the only thing I liked was the fried chicken. Hard not to like that.
Yeah, that's just good fried chicken.
Didn't want anything to do with God. Didn't want anything to do with the church. And we fed him. We loved him. And watched him. And watched God's plan develop in his life. And watched this beautiful transition of this little boy who grew up, gave his life to Christ, went to school, got our attention. We sent him to Bible school. And now leads.
Wow.
Our evangelism effort in Quiche, Guatemala.
Yeah,
he's bilingual and speaks Spanish and Quiche. Grew up in these areas. They're his people. They're our people.
Yeah,
but they're his people.
Yeah.
And many of the Guatemalans feel this cloud over them that says that they cannot achieve. And so I can come and tell them, and I do often, as often as I can, that they can.
Yeah.
They can do all things through Christ who gives them strength. When Wilmer tells them, they know.
It hits different.
He's the boy that lived down the street.
The rascal.
And that now is the leader of the rascals.
Yeah. And I've, you know, so amazing. Because I've been to Pastor Wilmer's church. Last time we were there, a medical campaign, we did a M25, which is for the older ladies, widows, and
just the poor.
Yeah, the poor. The women. It's the women's gathering, and we got to be a part of that. And just to see him lead, see his church, see the impact he's making. Yeah, and that's what I said, knowing that this isn't about just feeding kids. Yeah. This is about raising disciples who make disciples.
Amen. And when you look at the children, that's the beginning.
Yep.
We see that, and it's a beautiful story to feed them, to love them, to care for them, to tell a gospel story. But then, if we're successful,
there it is.
We get to see that little boy, C0147, that now stands before thousands of children in various settings and is the principal voice. That was taken in December, and that La Tierra Celebra, that means the land celebrates. Mm. Where that was our Christmas theme.
Yeah.
As we celebrated the arrival of our Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
And Wilmer being the principal storyteller.
Wow.
That's our story. So when you sponsor a kid, it's for us, the kids don't age out.
Yep.
Oh, we ask for $40 a month. Mm-hmm. That money doesn't go to missionaries. Mm-hmm. Not that that would be a bad thing. Yep. We've just made a decision. Yep. That's not what we're going to do. That sponsorship money goes to pay for the services, medical, dental, food, transportation for the kids and the staff. And it's for as long as they will continue to come. Now, normally those kids, by the time they're college age, they will either get married. That'll be the end of our sponsorship relationship. Mm-hmm. Or they'll move on in life. They'll transition to a different area or to
different stage of life.
We won't be working with them directly anymore. But the seeds have been planted if we've done it right.
Yeah.
At that point.
Oh yeah.
94 people on our staff currently, and 75% of them, so three out of every four of those staff started.
Kids in the program.
As that little boy.
Yeah, yeah.
Or a little girl.
And, you know, Steve, that's what I have always loved about, you know, there are tons of child sponsorship ministries, programs, things, and not putting any of those down. They all have a unique place in the kingdom and how God is called. But what I've always loved about the sponsorship through Living Water Adopt a Child is it is relational. It's not a picture of a kid just on your refrigerator and you know, they draft $40 a month out of your checking account and you can look and say, oh, I'm helping that kid. You can go. You can visit with this child and their family. You can build a relationship. I think about the number of sponsors, because we've been doing this for so long.
Yes, sir.
Some of them continue these relationships, even when the kids are not in the program, so to speak, but they continue these sometimes lifelong relationships. I you know, we know the gospel is relational, right?
Yes.
And so to see that, to know that it's so much more than just throwing a few dollars at a postcard on it, but you are investing in a life, and the level of that investment, the way you guys work, can be as much as you want it to be. And no, we have so many families here at Cedar Creek that have been sponsoring kids from, you know, way back, going on trips, doing home visits, things of that nature, just getting to know them, providing birthday and Christmas presents and things of that nature, but also always blessing the family as a whole.
Yes, sir.
Right. How many times have I, you know, lugged a bag of rice and beans up to a home visit, you know, climbing up in the mountains to do that? That's what I love about it. And that's why this partnership just so beautifully, God has overlapped it with Cedar Creek. And so we're going to put a link in what Sam would call the show notes. I would just say it's going to be whatever platform you're watching on in the chat or comments. You click on that, you can get more information about Living Water Adopt a Child, how you can be a sponsor. We would encourage you to do that. But whether you do that or not, just always know that when you give to the ministry of Cedar Creek, when you give, part of that goes for this partnership and others, because we know God has told us to go and make disciples. And partnerships are one of the great ways we do that. So so that's the program. That's what's happening. Let's talk a little bit about transitions. You know, we're in this series of messages, and we're also in a season of transition here at Cedar Creek. As I transition out of the senior pastor role, as Pastor Mike McKee comes in over the next couple of months, that season of transition, and that can be a little bit scary. We've been talking about that as a church family, but we've been living it as well. But you know, one of the things you and I know, we've been doing, both of us have been in ministry for a long time. We shouldn't say how long.
Yeah.
We're not old, but we are well seasoned. We got some miles on us. But I think both of us have seen just how God is faithful and uses even those seasons of transitions. And so, you know, we were talking earlier about how, you know, as leaders, we make decisions, and some of them turn out to be great. Some of them turn out to be, you know, God, that wasn't the right decision. But man, God's working and moving in all of that. If we're continually putting the focus on Him, getting Him the glory, and not trying to take it for ourselves. And I love that. As long as I've known you, you're just an incredibly humble man. So just talk to me a little bit about the transition, how you've managed, dealt with, walked through transitions in your ministry, your leadership, your life, and your family.
Yeah, well, one thing that I would say to you, and as I'm thinking about this word transition, and I think we all need to look at it, step back and look at it, and maybe redefine it, and see that it means more than just a change.
Yeah.
That when I look at transition, I mentioned to you that we're transitioning out of a program that we own to now going into public schools.
Right.
A shift.
Yeah.
So when I think about transition, and I've started thinking about you and knowing the transition that you're in, that you're contemplating, that you've decided to make. Mm-hmm. When I think about transition right now, that I think about it, and I would say it's a change. Yes, it is. Mm. But I would look at it as a God move.
Yeah.
That if we would look at this movement, God doesn't change.
Yeah.
But He does move.
Yes. Yeah.
And sometimes we have difficulty seeing Him or recognizing Him in the move.
Yeah.
And if I, you know, without getting too preachy, I would just say,
preach it, brother.
If we know the story, if we remember the story, which we do, with Elijah, when he has a great victory, then he runs and he hides in a cave, and then he thinks he's all alone. He's desperate and he's alone. He's discouraged, and God sees him, Roy. He sees the God who sees, and he sees him, and he says, "Hey, I want you. You know, you're not alone. I want you to go outside, because I'm about to transition. I'm about to move by you."
Yeah.
And he, you know, of course, we know the story.
Yeah.
The wind so powerful that it shatters rocks, but God wasn't found in it.
That's right.
The earthquake and the wind, God wasn't found in it. The fire, God wasn't in it. And then he manifests himself. He shows himself in a gentle whisper.
Yeah. That still
small
voice.
Still voice. And so as I look, I would say that was the God move.
Yeah.
That was the transition. And I would say to you, with all respect, sir, that as God transitioned you from your former life and used your skills to make you the incredible pastor and leader that you've been for all of these decades here at Cedar Creek.
Yeah.
God is moving in your life right now and has moved you to a place where you're about to transition. Mm-hmm. And I would say God's about to pass by. Mm-hmm. He's you're not going to miss him.
Yeah.
Elijah didn't miss him. Yeah. He wasn't fooled by the noise.
Yeah.
Of the transition. He saw God in that move. And so when I think about transition, even as I think of contemplate it at a future date, I want to be able to be as passionate about God when I exit my leadership position as I was when he put it upon me, and I knew I didn't deserve it then.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that...
Thank you. That's hugely encouraging to me, just personally. I'm praying it'll be encouraging to our people as well. But, I mean, that's a good word. I think about that. You know, we're looking at change. This is different. This is not what I'm used to. This feels different, looks different, smells different, tastes different. I love that image. It's a God move.
It's a God move.
It's a God move. And it's going to... It may change our perspective. It may change... what we do, the responsibilities or the task or those kinds of things change, but it's a God move. It's a God move. I know it's a God move for Terry and I and just our journey. It's a God move for our church family. Man, I will hold on to that. Yeah. Thank you for that word, man.
It's a God move for Mike coming in.
Yeah.
But it's a God move for you as you exit because you're still young.
Yeah.
You're still fired up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And God is moving in your life and is changing a position.
Yeah.
But God is going to be with you in the move.
Thank you.
As I think, and if I would get a little preachy, and our churches in Guatemala, you mentioned, one of our core values, we're planting churches.
Yeah.
We're one of our strong missional efforts is to start churches and sustain them.
Yeah.
As I think about that, this year we've been studying through the book of Acts. And as I thought about you this morning, and as I thought about what I would say to you, thank you for the invitation. I was reminded from Acts where I think I even have the text here. That it would probably be helpful for us to look at it. And we find Paul speaking, and I won't read the whole text, but he comes down and transitions are taking place. A transition from God rule to the judges.
Yeah.
A transition from the judges to the monarchy.
Yeah.
And then as he selects as the first king is anointed, Saul.
Yeah.
And then Saul runs his course, and God, once again, transitions, the God move.
Yeah.
It says, after this, God gave them judges until the time of Samuel the prophet. Then the people asked for a king. He gave them Saul, son of Kish, of the tribe of Benjamin, who ruled 40 years. After removing Saul, another God move, he made David their king. God testified concerning him, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. So when I would say to you in this with this God move, that God is not moved by the same things that men are moved.
Yeah.
And so both of these men are handsome. Matter of fact, one scripture says most handsome and tallest man in the world, or at least in Israel.
Yeah.
And then that wasn't what impressed God.
Yeah.
What he got down to is he went to David and he looked at him. And he did what no man can do. We can attempt.
Yeah.
But our vision stops at the epidermis.
Yeah.
We cannot penetrate and look into a heart. God can. And the God move was when he looked at David and he said, this is a man who will do what I said. That's your story, Pastor Philip. As a man after God's heart and conform to God's heart, that I would say the God move that you're seeing is a result of you having a heart of obedience and saying yes, even in the difficult moments, which we've walked through a couple of them together.
Yes, we have. Yes, we
and
have.
To get you to the place that you're at right now where you can say, I know God is moving. He had me in the beginning. He had me. He sustained me in the middle. I know God is moving with me in this next transition or God move in my life.
Gosh, you're making me tear up a little bit, brother. Thank you. Thanks for that encouragement. Because we've known each other for a long time, and I know you're not a sugarcoater. Wow. You are a man who speaks and speaks truth, and that means the world to me. See, means the world to me. Thank you. I'm encouraged by that. That imagery you've given us today of the God move, and then that those kind words of my ministry and continued ministry. And so thank you for that. Now, I'm going to say something to you. You know, knew early on when we met and saw the ministry, but just knowing you and Anna, just fell in love with you guys. That partnership has just deepened and deepened and deepened. And then when our baby girl, Caitlin, when she went down and served with you guys as a short-term missionary and was in your care, I will never forget the day when we lost Philip Jr. And Caitlin was in Guatemala. And I knew I've got to get to her, get her, somebody with her, because she's about to get the worst news she's ever gotten. And she's a long way away. And she's separated from the rest of us. We're all leaning into each other. And she's out there. And I picked up the phone. I called you. Y'all were at a home. Y'all were doing a home visit. And I shared what had happened with you. And I said, Steve, I need you to get there to her. And I need you to take care of her and get her to us. And when I hung up the phone, I had complete confidence that my brother was going to be there for my baby girl and walk with her. And y'all got her, loved on her, got her to the front door of our house. Edwina dropped what she was doing, got on a plane, stayed right next to Caitlin for the airports, the flight, all. I can't imagine all that was going on in her heart and mind, and literally delivered her to our front door into the arms of our family. You will never know how incredibly grateful I am for you, and to know that God was not taken by that. That didn't take God by surprise. And he knew where she'd be, and he knew what she'd need, and he knew what we would need, our family would need. So I've always been in awe of you as a Marine. My dad was a Marine, and that just solidified even more that you're a hero. You're my hero, brother. And you stood in the gap, and I knew I put her in the hands of one of God's most incredibly strong, faithful foot soldiers. And so on behalf of the Lee family and Caitlin and the Cedar Creek Church family, thank you for that, brother. Thank you for just loving us and allowing us to be a part of you and Anna, your precious family, and also the incredible work of Living Water Adopt a Child.
Oh, thank you. It wasn't hard. Caitlin was easy to love, still easy to love. We met her when she was like 15 years old.
Yep. Yeah.
And I would just say to you to add a little bit of that, that story is is the truth. I would just say we had a team. We were out close to the Fuego volcano. It had just catastrophically erupted just prior to that. And we were out visiting a family. And we had just led someone to Christ.
Wow.
And in that family in this little town out by the volcano. And the phone rang, and I would normally have my phone on silence or off. And the phone rang just after we had led this young lad to the Lord. And I looked at the phone, and I saw it was you. And I was like, well, I got to get this. And, the rest is history. But it was an incredibly difficult moment for your family. Yeah. And it was an honor for us to be able to be there with you. Yeah. We had a team, or else we would have accompanied.
Yeah. Sure.
Caitlin, we sent Edwina immediately and got her out the next day.
Yeah.
But that was a tough moment.
Yeah.
That will is sealed in our memories. Yeah. And God bless you, sir.
Yeah. Well, you know, life is full of tough moments.
It is.
You know, we just talked 2 weeks ago, message about the storms of life, the unexpected storms that come up out of nowhere. And, you know, God's in the middle of those. He's right there. Had the right people, you know, being where they needed to be. And so we're all going to go through transitions, these God moves. There is a lot of wind and waves sometimes in those. Yes. That we feel. God's not in all of that. Where God is in is that still small voice.
Amen.
And those lifelong relationships that he builds in his Amen. Family. And we are honored by that, brother.
Well, we are. And I would deflect and I would just say this. Living Water is a better ministry because of our partnership with Cedar Creek Church under your leadership. And I'm excited about the next God move.
Yeah.
And I haven't met Mike. Look forward to it.
I do too.
But for this season, on the behalf of all of our people, many of them you know, but countless that you do not, I would say muchas gracias. You know, and thank you so much for the partnership that we've been able to establish. And we're doing things that would be impossible were it not for this partnership that was birthed more than a decade ago. Thank you for that.
Thank you. Let me pray for us.
Yeah.
Lord, I'm so grateful for just this chance for Steve and I to sit down, to have the time to just be able to not just walk down memory lane, but Lord, look back across time and see your faithfulness and see how you're moving, how you're working, and just say, thank you, Jesus, for letting us be a small part of it. Lord, I pray you just continue to bless Steve and Anna, all of the team, the staff, the board, not only in Guatemala, but in Albania as well. Continue to pray, Lord, you would just strengthen them. I pray for their family, their new grandbaby. Lord, we're celebrating with that. Lord, I pray that you would just continue to take this partnership and this God move to where you want it to be, both in Cedar Creek Church and in Living Water Adopt a Child, in the McDaniel family, the Lee family. We give you honor and glory, Lord. And we are amazed. You are Elroy. You are the God who sees.
Amen.
And you are the God who moves and the God who provides. So thank you for that, Jesus. And I pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.